SiriusXM Sports presents At the Races with Steve Bick. Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
Very good Tuesday, race fans. Sirius 219, XM 201, Sports Zone 964, if you're listening to Sirius XM online. And at our website, too, stevebick.com. And another morning of snow removal. I did my share. I got out early. Tina had a delay. And she said, "Oh, I'm sure there wasn't much. There was a little more overnight, another probably 6 inches, give or take. But, you know, you got to clear the driveway, otherwise it, you know, ends up like a skating rink." So I went out early morning. It is actually, you know, for those of you that live in the Northeast or in any northern clime, the early morning snow removal, there's a certain quiet, and it wasn't as much this morning as it is when there's like a fresh snowfall, complete snow. This was like residual, but yesterday, certainly, and any other morning, and those of you in the South will have no idea what I mean, but when you go out early morning hours before the sun's up, and the road's got a layer of snow on it, even though they've been plowing. And when cars go by, there's a certain quiet. It's almost like when you're at the track and the track isn't producing any real sound. There's like a kind of a whoosh of the horse and a muffled thump when they go by. And it's the same thing when cars are out there. And then, you know, they'll be on your street. I mean, we live on Route 29, you know, which is a pretty big thoroughfare. But the traffic's pretty light. And there'll be people in either direction looking down driveways. You know, if it's a heavy snow, most of us are using the snow thrower. And so there's that clackety rumble of the snow blowers, and you can see, you know, arcing snow, you know, being moved around, and you know, there's some people working where their driveway meets the street, you know, because the plow comes by and deposits that, you know, that clumpy disaster that seals your driveway off. There's a certain level that you drive through for a while and you try to mat it down with your car because you don't feel like going out there and taking the shovel and clearing it. You know, it's always heavy and especially as things start to warm up. But there's a real pleasant, you know, kind of ambiance out there among, you know, those that are moving snow at that time. It's kind of a bunch of you are listening and saying, "I know exactly what he means." The rest of you are like, "Yeah, you poor dumb schnooks. why are you living there? Why are you still living in the Northeast or in Michigan and Minnesota and so forth?" I don't know. You get there's a certain, you grow up in it, and I think it is true. Everybody at a certain point gets tired of it. But plenty really love when the snow hits and this time of year. So I can now, you know, Tina and I worked together on Sunday. She did yesterday and I did today. So we're even, you know, after the first round, Now I'm leaving for California and Arizona. So if there's any more snow, she'll, you know, she there was 1 year. What was it? 2 winters ago, where I was gone. You know, much of the winter, and every time the snow came, she was giving me the business. It's fun. We you know, for years we had guys come with their pickup and plow the driveway, and then my father, who, you know, is 90, got to a point. He said, "Do you want?" You know, he says, "I'm not going to do the snow. I can't go out anymore with the snowblower." And I said, "Sure." So he gave us this fabulous Cub Cadet snowblower. Just tears things up. So my first of the season out there this weekend, and hopefully it does not. And we'll talk to Andy later. Hopefully it does not impact us. And the wet weather, pretty much wet downstate. And, you know, they're going to try to run turf through Sunday. And then that'll probably be it. But any more, much more moisture is going to end the turf season. But it's waning. I mean, the races we talked about with Cassie yesterday, that Central Park and the Tepin, you know, I hope they get those in. They're both very good, and there's a few others. But tomorrow they'll draw. We've got a pretty good feel about the Cigar Mile and the Remsen and the Demoiselle. Gopher Wand feels like there's maybe half a dozen. Doesn't look like a big group for the Gopher Wand, but the Cigar Mile is the major attraction. Spun to Run, and Maximum Security. And, you know, we're going to talk to Shug here in about 10 minutes. The 3-year-old, soon-to-be 4-year-old marketplace, not so terrible. It really isn't. And performers, anxious to hear from Shug about Performer. And, of course, you know, Shug's got Code of Honor freshening and preparing for a 4-year-old season, and having a horse like Performer kind of bubble to the surface, and with every passing start, is improving clearly. So we'll talk to Shug, and he's not just Performer. Tax ran very well in there. I'm sure Andy's got some thoughts, but Performer just kept finding, as they say, and just stayed on. And in terms of development, got a 102 fig, and he just, with every passing start, continues to improve. And, you know, this was a mile and an eighth. Spitestown out of Protesting, the AP Indy mare. Typical, nice Phipps family. In fact, Claiborne partnered up, but if I'm not mistaken, Protesting, and this is a personal Ensign female family group. But this horse, you know, had the debut last year in November, then was on the shelf until June, and now has reeled off 4 straight wins. And what is interesting is how he's seems versatile too. He's got speed, broke his maiden at 6, stretched out 6.5, then a mile and a 16th, and now the mile and the 8th. So Shug's got to be very happy with where he stands with his 3-year-olds, soon to be 4, and we'll catch up on everything else going on in that McGahee Barn, always terrific when we get a chance to talk to Claude Ray. And by the way, speaking of Claude Rays, for those of you that are curious about our Claude Ray, Claude Ray, the gelding, in Florida, and had a little chip, had a small flake in the ankle, left front, and that came out, root and riddle, down in Florida. And they said, no damage, no complication. And he just started walking, and he'll be, you know, over the next 3 weeks, probably 3 more weeks, probably, and then get back into full training. So a little bit of actually not so terrible, you know, because he really had been making great progress. And, you know, you never like hearing about, you know, never like hearing that. But he's a horse that wants to go long on the grass. And, you know, he wasn't going to be an early horse. So after the first of the year for our Claude Ray. we're going to talk to Mike Stidham. And as I mentioned yesterday, Stidham, just in the last couple of weeks, hit the 2,000 win mark. I mean, that's a substantial milestone. And we'll talk to Mike. That City Zip of his, Alms, now, what, 3 for 3? And stretched out to a mile. A City Zip out of an Empire Maker mare, and this filly, serious. And one of the, you know, I mentioned it certainly a couple of times yesterday, but really didn't stress the remarkable day that Paco Lopez had. I reiterate that. Lopez with the 3 wins. the 1 for Bob Hess. Fun to catch up with Bob, for those of you that just listened to the replay of yesterday, you know, winding down here in the last 40 minutes. Great to catch up with Bob Hess. But the win for Stidham and the Jimmy Durante, and then Mo Forza. And Lopez and Rosario. Rosario wasn't available, obviously, but after the win in the Twilight Derby, but Mo Forza looking like a serious force. And again, a lot of good feelings associated with Barry and Diane Abrams. And Mo Forza adding a grade one. And Barry sky high on the long-term prospects for Mo Forza going forward. So Stidham in this hour, Andy Serling. Hour 3, Michael McCarthy. And speaking of two-year-olds, and this is a little different. We knew about the, you know, we knew Alms was already established. But when it came to Sunday, and the DeMille, smooth like straight. And, you know, sometimes, you know, a price horse will jump up and win. And, you know, you look at it and, you know, you're not necessarily convinced. This was convincing. Paid $33.20. Giovanni Franco aboard, wire to wire, and every time anybody probed and came at him, he just got let out a notch and won, I mean, with authority. This was impressive. So we'll talk to Michael and get some backstory and some thoughts. You know, another one stretching out to the mile off of some sprints. You know, got a debut in at Del Mar last summer, but then moved to the turf and immediately jumped forward. This is a Midnight Loot out of a Flower Alley. We'll have to find out, what Michael thought, because the dirt debut was, even the 28-1 had to be disappointing. Two things, though: moved to the turf and took off the blinkers in that second start, where he showed significant improvement, and then this effort was really impressive. So, always look forward to talking to the trainer formerly known as Whitey, Michael McCarthy, MWM, very distinctive saddle cloth. Chuck Simon is going to stop at the studio later for hour three. And as promised, we're going to start a series with Chuck. And Chuck, with his role with the Horsemen, we're going to open up a kind of a Q&A scenario. We're going to start with trainer issues. We're going to go through any different area of interest and of concern. Sort of like the industry, our industry segments that we did with Satish. Chuck, of course, brings a different perspective with his longtime training career. But, Chuck worked in racing offices as part of his development and on the harness side. Chuck is a big intellect, and he saw a lot of the problems we're facing coming. And we'll talk trainer issues today from the business side in the first half of the conversation. In the second half, the equine management responsibility issues. But we're gonna hit a lot of things with Chuck over the winter. Let's take a break. Shug McGahee starts out the day.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Hey, what's going on? Mikey here, and I'm going to tell you about an offer from my good friends at ExpressBet. Let's be honest. We know you love playing the races, but you can't always make it to the track. Sometimes life just gets in the way of a good bet. Well, what if I told you about a place where you never miss a bet and you start with house money? You'd say I'm crazy, right? Well, not at ExpressBet. Your first $125 are on them. Sign up at ExpressBet.com using promo code BYK. That's B-Y-K. And you'll get $125 when you wager $500 within your first 30 days. See what I mean? House money just for playing the races you were going to bet anyway. Check out ExpressBet.com for more information. And don't forget to sign up using promo code BYK. B-Y-K to get that $125 bonus. You're going to love it. And that's a Mikey guarantee.
Conditions apply. Must be 18 or older and 21 in certain states. Open account with ExpressBet LLC and reside in a state where such activity is legal, void, or prohibited. National Gambling Support Line, 800-522-4700.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Amazing achievements for Pennsylvania breeds on the world stage. Thanks to Finest City, Unique Bella, and Shamrock Rose, PA joins Kentucky as the only state in the past decade to breed Eclipse Award champions three straight years. Add that to our unmatched incentives. Plus, our racehorse development fund can only be used to support PA breeding and racing. Why breed anywhere else? This is Brian Sanfratello. Go to PABred.com and see why Pennsylvania is the premier place to breed and race.
Horsebills.com. Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only a low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-938-4643.
Down the biggest stories in the world of horse racing. This is At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
We're back at the races, 20 minutes into Tuesday. And looking forward, as always, to an opportunity to talk to Shug McGahee, because this kind of horse is very exciting in Shug's hands in particular, because the immediate progress and the very deliberate summer into fall and then, you know, into stakes makes Performer a horse that looks like he's going to be a major player into 2020. Shug, good morning. Hope you had a nice Thanksgiving.
Morning, Steve. Yeah, I did. Very quiet. Yourself?
We did. We did. I very nice. Had the kids in and, you know, just six of us. And I still made a 20-pound turkey, though.
Sounds like my house. We had Thanksgiving twice.
Exactly.
Thursday, Friday.
Love it. I love it. What's your favorite? What I asked this last week. What's your favorite side dish?
Probably sweet potatoes, I guess.
All right. You like sweet potato pie? Pumpkin pie. Nice. Nice.
Yeah. I like about all of it.
Allison, a good cook? You can be honest with us.
Oh, she's a very good cook. She's very good. She cooked it all she wanted to, you know, and it was just she and I and Reeve, so we could easily have gone someplace, but she wanted to do it. It was very good. It was a quiet night, and it was nice.
There's nothing like it. It's just very, you know, just very, I don't know, familiar, and it's really the situation in New York actually ended up, I think probably the horsemen weren't all that upset that you got the afternoon off on Thursday.
Probably not. I did read somewhere somebody tweeted that, you know, we get our horses ready and this and that and get them over there and then we don't get to run. Which you feel sorry for that kind of stuff, but for me, it was an easy afternoon and just spending back here watching a little TV and went home and everything was easy.
Well, Performer made it look easy as well on Saturday. Let's talk about what went on here. Your second Discovery win, and I forget who your first one was.
I do too. That's not a good sign. I remember one that got beat when I didn't think he should have, but he did. So.
Well, this kind of colt is exciting. I mean, it talk about what was wrong between November and June while he was away.
Well, he's one we've always liked, and we got a race into him late last fall. And he just had some little things that we needed to give him a little bit of time and pacing, and that's what we did. Just kind of some ankles, and you know, we didn't have to do anything. We just sort of took care of him our own way, and you know, we gave him some time. And the best I remember, he was ready a little bit before he got to run, but that was just because of the way the race came up.
Bring him back mid-summer and before Saratoga, got a race in at Belmont, and he breaks his maiden at six. He's a Spitestown out of the APND mare, and you know, it's kind of an interesting pedigree. There's the speed on top, there's the staying power on the bottom. Certainly feels like, now that we've seen him win four straight, that he's got a lot of tools at his disposal.
Okay. Yeah, well, he does. You know, he's got, he's a big, strong horse, and he's got some lick. When he broke his maiden, he laid right up kind of in behind the horse and, you know, and pulled away at the end. And then when we ran him at Saratoga, you know, I thought he would sort of do the same thing. He had sort of more of an outside post. And when he got back a little bit, I was a little worried, making it only his third start and never having really eaten the dirt and stuff. And, you know, I was very, very impressed with that race. So that kind of brought him along to the fall.
Well, it comes back from Saratoga at the end of September. You stretch him out to a mile and a 16th, and of course, you know, the luxury of one turn, and he couldn't have looked better in that spot. And you know, then at that point, did you start thinking it's time for Stakes Company?
Yeah, I mean, I knew where the Discovery was, Steve, and I had it on my mind. That's why I wanted him to run, you know, a decent race in that two love angle on a mile and 16th here. I was a little bit worried. He had worked a little faster than I'd wanted him to coming into the race, and I was just wondering on a lightly raced horse how that would sort of affect him, but it didn't. And, you know, I thought he ran a good race. He was up there, and, you know, I kind of wished that the Discovery had been a couple of weeks earlier, but it wasn't. And so, you know, we waited it out, and he trained really, really well, and going into it, and, you know, I was really, really, you know, as well as he'd been running and as well as he trained, I was really anxious and seeing how he would run and stepping him up in company a little bit.
The way the race unfolded, kind of what you and Joel were expecting. You know, talk about, you know, how it unfolded.
Well, you know, I mean, as I told him, I think if he breaks good, you're going to be sitting in a good position. I thought the horse of Navarro's would be on the lead. I thought Tax would be up there, and you know, of course, I was right in one instance and wrong in the other, and. So, you know, he likes to sort of ride him away from there a little bit, kind of get his attention. And, you know, I thought we set it in a good position. You know, the horse and Navarro's ran by him going around the turn and, you know, sort of tested him a little bit. And then he got tested again going around the second turn and when they tried him. And then when Tax came to him, you know, he fought him off and was sort of drawn away a little bit at the end. And, you know, I thought that was pretty good going a mile and eighth around two turns and get tested two or three times. And I mean, Tax is a pretty seasoned horse with, you know, he'd kind of been to the war some and knew what he was doing. And, you know, we were lightly raced, but, you know, I was very pleased with, obviously of the end result, especially the way we kind of last little bit sort of looked like we pulled away just a tad bit there at the end.
Well, and that I agree, and that's one of the things about him that is really exciting. I mean, every time Joel asked him for either positional speed or, you know, to fend off challenges, he responded. And he responded two or three times to various circumstances. For a lightly raced horse, that and the 102 buyer figure, you put all this together, and you know, he's come a long way in a short time.
I agree with you. You know, I was impressed with this 102 buyer, and I was very impressed with the way that he responded to the challenges that he needed to. I mean, but the way Joel rides him, and he knows him, and the way Joel's riding anyway right now is pretty remarkable. So we had some things working in our corner too.
Well, yeah, I mean, Joel is unconscious.
Yeah.
And of course, the ride he gave the turf that Long Island. How about that?
I was sitting with Ron Anderson. I said, "Is that you laying there third or fourth?" He said, "No, I'm way out the back someplace." I think he'd like given up, and then all of a sudden he comes up the rail, and you know, he almost kind of went inside the rail there where the chute comes out. But he will ride the rail on the turf, and you know, like right now when he's riding the way he is right now, he's about as good as any of them.
No doubt about it. And there was some daring do there. I think when I reached Graham Motion later that in the afternoon, Graham was in the UK, and he didn't watch it. And I said, "You're better off." I said, you wouldn't necessarily your heart would have been in your mouth.
Exactly.
Shug, what's the plan here for this horse? You got to be thinking. There's a lot of big things ahead.
Well, big things ahead are going to be we want a good 4-year-old year out of him, spring, summer, and fall, and hopefully we can give him a little bit of a break here. I know he's lightly raced, but that's what our plan has been, was to run a Discovery, send him to Payson, give him a little bit of time, bring him back in the spring, where that'd be, I don't know. It could be a race like the Carter to leading up to some other things, or Westchester, or maybe it could be even something earlier in the spring over at Aqueduct. And, you know, we would just hopefully, if he's that kind, we could be competing in the bigger older horse races in the summer, such as Suburban, and with real wishful thinking, the Whitney, and some of the races in the fall, and go from there. I mean, Claiborne's bought into him after he won at Saratoga, and so obviously they're looking at him for a stallion. I'm looking at him as a racehorse. And so that's going to be our plan with him.
Well, and you mentioned the Carter. I mean, getting a great win, and of course the Met is sitting there as well.
You're there.
And then, you know, opportunity to stretch out and go for the big handicap grade ones. It really feels like a great circumstance, and it's irresistible for me whenever we talk not to.
Steve?
Oh, I think you lost me. Did we lose Shug too? I think we did. All right. If you can get him back, Deja. That was... I heard. I can always tell. I heard the telltale sound in the background over the headset. So, sorry about that. And what I was bringing up, the produce record for the mayor and protesting herself, was very nice, but she had three in 4 years, that Smart Strike gelding Bombs Away, and then Breaking the Rules, who was a nice turf, stake performer, won the Tropical Park Derby and was second in the Canadian this year, and then came performer. But in 17, 18, and 19, she's lost foals. She's absorbed or slipped, as they say, and don't know what she's carrying for this year, but that's bad luck. To be as productive as she's been early here in her broodmare career. So I want to see if Shug has got an update or knows what transpired. Interesting. So, I don't know if you're listening on the stream, I guess this is an oddity. There's times when the stream doesn't run, but Sirius never has a problem, but apparently there's a problem with the network, according to Deja. So she's working on that. Interesting. All right. You just keep me informed, and we'll go from there. Protesting, of course, was a daughter of Aunt Parade. And, anytime you get these Phipps families and Janney families, it's great fun. And, when I talk to Shug, this is, Aunt Parade, daughter of my flag. And, it's so littered with all the great horses that, Shug has turned in. And Shug, there he goes. He comes. Shug's back with us. Shug, I was just talking about how the, protesting has had some bad luck with her last three covers.
Yeah, she's in foal now.
Good,
but,
good.
She has. You know, she didn't get in foal, and so hopefully we got her back on the right track now, and we'll go from there. And breaking the rules, he's had a long rest, but he's back in training, or getting ready to go back in training now, so I'm kind of looking forward to him. And he just had a little case of the proverbial bone bruising, but...
that's the worst.
Yeah, no kidding. I get tired of hearing about it. And so... But like I say, she is back, back in full now. I'm not sure with what, but you know, we'll look forward to whatever. But like I say, we're looking forward to a 4-year old year with Performer, and take it from there.
Absolutely. Well, and of course, to have a 3-year old come on like this after the 3-year old season that you enjoyed with Code of Honor, we have not talked since Breeders' Cup, and you've obviously had a month to, you know, reflect. Any further thoughts about what went on out there? I know you were very unhappy with, the way the, track was playing.
Well, you know, I mean, I think that was it. I mean, I'm not taking anything away. We got beat. You know, the winner ran over the same track, and the horse of the second ran over the same track as we did. But, you know, we didn't get away that good. Had to eat that dirt and stuff. And Johnny told me that when I turned down the backside, I knew I was in trouble. But I wish we would quit experimenting with all these tracks and just let them be racetracks like they used to be. And you know, I didn't hear a lot of protesting, you know, years back when we were. I mean, you got a racetrack like Keeneland. They used to complain about them running down over it, but that's what we got vet wrap and patches for now, to protect that. And these racetracks at Belmont and Aqueduct have been terrific all year, and this is the kind of tracks we need to have. We don't need to have a bunch of scientists sitting in some lab somewhere telling these guys what kind of racetrack to use. You know, you need a dirt guy. And so I wish we could go back to what it was. I mean, I felt, you know, I mean, I think you probably saw the article that Baffert said about the track. And, you know, I sort of felt the same way that, you know, in a day or two before, they were kind of blading it. But you know, they were also putting some kind of a material in it too. And,
yeah,
you know, if you saw the difference in the times, which was, you know, pretty startling, and from what they'd been in the past, you know, I mean, a couple of seconds difference and this and that, you know, but I think we were sort of a victim of it, and kind of my mistake going there. But, you know, I sure can't take anything away from the winner or the second horse. They both ran over the same track, as I said, and they both ran. They ran really well, and we ran over the track and didn't run very well. But Code of Honor's turned out in Kentucky now. We'll pick him up on 1st of January, and look forward to a 4-year year with him.
Very nice. No timetable for him coming to Payson?
January 1st.
January 1st. Okay.
Want to give him. You know, that was. Pre-planned. That wasn't, you know, nothing happened to him or anything. I just had planned on sending him straight to Kentucky from California, and giving him off from the middle of December to the 1st of January. And, you know, I talked with Mike Klein and Mr. Farish, and we just decided to give him till the 1st of January. And it could be the week after Christmas, who knows, but all's well.
Well, going to sit back and obviously on Saturday they're going to run this Cigar Mile, and Maximum Security, it does feel like right now Maximum Security and Code of Honor are pretty much shoulder to shoulder in terms of a championship. Any reflection on how that might shake out?
Well, I mean, I agree with you. You know, I don't think I'm going to be pulling too hard Maximum Security on Saturday. But, you know, how all that works out, I, you know, I've got you know, I've got some a little bit of worry about a horse that breaks is made for 16 being a champion, but you know, it's up to the voters. But like I say, you know, he's a nice horse, and he's run good. His Bull Riddle was a good race, and but I won't be pulling for him on Saturday, but I'll be watching.
All right. Well, and you are going to be participating this weekend, and there's some interesting horses to talk about. And, you know, you've got an Uncle Mo running in the Teppan. We talked to Cassie yesterday about his weekend. He's got one in the rescheduled Central Park as well as in this race. But you've got Enola Gay. I do want to talk about the other Uncle Mo that broke the maiden last month, amends.
Enola Gay is going to scratch. She's been called, okay. So I'm going to scratch her.
Ah, all right. So no one knows.
Forget about that one.
All right. Well, we'll come back.
But we can go ahead. Yeah, we can go ahead.
What about amends, the Uncle Mo for the Phippses?
Steve, he's kind of a mystery horse to me a little bit. He's a nice big horse. He's big, sound, two-year-old. He's got a beautiful way of going. He's not a very good workhorse, so he kind of confuses me. But his race the other day here was a very good race, and I think he's the kind of horse, being by Uncle Mo out of Guilty Verdict, that his horse is going to want to run a distance of ground. He acts like he wants to run a distance of ground, and like he's the kind of horse that sure doesn't tout himself except by the way he goes. And he can run really good or he can run not so good, but he's doing awfully well. And you know, I think going a mile and eighth is what he wants to do. And if we get the right setup, and then he's probably gonna have a little bit of a chance.
Nice. Well, moderate figure to break the maiden, but going long, and it does feel like a long-winded type. You've actually had a bunch of maiden breakers in the last few weeks, including that Stanhope on the turf. You had one down at Laurel the other day as well, at the end of October. Crockett's Bluff, Stanhope. I've seen a bunch of them.
Yeah, no, the two-year-old's been running pretty good, and we got Alondra's going to run in the Demoiselle on Saturday. We're looking forward to that. She's done really, really well since she ran in the Alcibiades, and that was kind of an unfortunate race. She got bothered just a little bit leaving the gate and got way out of it, was eating that dirt down there, and she really didn't kind of get going to the last part of it. And, I mean, she was a well-beaten third, but the winner of the Breeders' Cup was the winner, and she really has trained really well and looks a picture, and I think that she would be very, very tough on in the Demoiselle on Saturday going that far. I mean, it's a Helen Alexander bred, and most of all those things are, she's by Blame and her two turn type mares, and I had her mother, I think she wanted to turn back the alarm, so and we're looking forward to that. And then I got a couple of maidens that are going to run on Sunday, and then I'm out of here.
Speaking of the maidens, let's ask about them. Fabulous Fun.
He trains better than he's been running. Gonna give him another chance tomorrow. It might be that when we get to Florida, he's going to need the turf, but I'll just have to wait and see. But his two races, even though his race the other day wasn't that bad, and Jose came back and said, listen, it wasn't that bad. And every time he touts you, he's going to run better, and he doesn't. And, we had to give him some time off after his first one and came back. Just took us a while to get him where we are now. And so we'll see tomorrow going a little farther. I think if he breaks well, he should be well positioned, and we'll go from there.
Nice. And My Happy Place, another 3-year-old that getting a little frustrating.
Well, I don't know that I'm frustrated with her. I've been a little disappointed in a couple of her races, but I think My Happy Place is is a nice filly. I think she's well placed on Friday at Gulfstream. You know, I think she wants to run long, and I would love to run around two turns, and we're going to get that chance, I'm sure, this winter somewhere along the line. So, you know, it's just going to be up to her to whether, when we get her stretched out a little bit farther, whether that makes an improvement or not. We'll just have to wait and see.
I know that Mrs. Danvers got sidelined, and it's been probably, I don't know, another 6 or 8 weeks since we last brought her up with you. Any news on when she'll get back into?
Probably about another 30 days before she comes to me.
Good.
Yeah, so they say she's done really well. I haven't seen her, but they say she's done really well and really looks good. This and that. She's at Ashford and Lexington, and so... we'll sure look forward to getting her back.
For sure. The Tappet Filly that really, you know, got people excited. And it might, you know, sometimes those situations pay off handsomely later, you know, and bring her back and focus on the three-year-old year and, you know, have a whole horse for, you know, for the sophomore
summertime
campaign.
You know, that's what we'll look for.
Outstanding. Now, Shug, it's been, I tell you, a lot of good, you know, obviously the three-year-old stuff is exciting, but you seem further along with the two-year-olds than usual.
Well, I've been trying to, you know. I mean, I think when you see a lot of your better horses, they run, you know, sometime in their two-year-old year, and, you know, so I've been trying to get some of them run. Like I say, I got a couple more to run. And horse Jewel Stone's going to run back with blinkers on Sunday. And I got a two-year-old filly of the Fitz is called Vigilante Way. She's by Medaldi Orr out of Salute, half-sister to Mr. Speaker. So she's done pretty well around here, and I'm looking forward to running her on Sunday, too. I hope the race goes, but we'll just have to wait and see.
Well, and then, as you say, heading south and down to Payson and the winter season, and I suppose you'll be bringing the sticks along, bringing the golf.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I'm a little bit behind with the golf since we've been up here. You know, we came back here after the Breeders' Cup, and so I'm a little bit behind with that. But I'm looking forward to getting down there and kind of getting back into the swing of things, you know, not only with that, but with, you know, with the pacing horses and some of the horses that, you know, I haven't been around that much that are coming back or have been at Fair Hill or have been, something's happened to where they've been in Kentucky in rehab or that kind of stuff. So, you know, then I've got a few coming back that have been at Nile Brennan's, Inspector Lindley, Profiteer, you know, those are two horses that got sidetracked this summer, but, you know, hopefully they're back on the right track and, you know, we can have some fun with them and see what happens.
Awfully nice. And how many of the horses that are Fair Hill will stay and run at Laurel? Because you've been winning races down at Laurel, too.
Yeah, no, none of them. They're all, everything.
They're all coming.
Fair Hill's all Fair Hill's closed down. They're all at Payson Park now.
Very good. Very good.
The Laurel has been, it's been a good outlet. It's a good place. It's, you know, we have had some luck there. And, you know, some of those horses will be running at Gulfstream or Tampa as the winter goes along.
Well, and Shug, as we wrap up, I will close it out by saying that your other Discovery winner was Gold Fever.
Okay, that was a while ago. He won a narrow mile, too. It was a narrow mile then, not the cigar.
That's right. Oh, my gosh. Mike Smith, right? Smith on a regular basis, I think, with him.
Probably so.
That was, in fact, the Naira Mile was his career. That was his finale. He won the Discovery. And
Naira Mile, and then he went to Lane's End of Stud, I think.
Yeah, how about that? And it's funny because he, you know, I'm just looking at, he really had a bad summer. He was kind of struggling, it seemed, the Jerome and the King's Bishop, and you tried him in the Screen King, and he won the Reaver Ridge, and then he went on a 4-race losing streak.
Yeah, that's a while back.
You're usually pretty good. You're usually pretty good with this.
that one was. I knew he'd won the Nair Mile, but I didn't know. I didn't remember he'd won the Discovery. The Discovery was a little bit earlier than that time than it is now.
Yeah, Pat Aqua. That's right. So. That's right. But he had, in the spring, this is interesting because he had broken his maiden at Saratoga in his second start, late in the meet. And then you tried him in the Futurity and the Champagne, then brought him back with an allowance win. Then he spent the end of November, the Perpetuate Stakes, which I've never even heard of.
No.
And that's probably a stake you didn't know you won. And then he came back in the Hutchison. Interesting career. And then got really good the last 2-3 months.
Yeah, well, you know, sometimes they do that.
How about
ran
that?
So, you know, he was sent his horse. He brought him to her. So he was a nice little horse. And, you know, Mark Enning had a good filly by him. I can't remember what her name, but Gold Mover, I think, was her name.
Gold Mover and Ned Evans.
Yeah, Ned Evans. Was a good filly by Gold Fever. So,
well, son of 49er out of Lead Kindly Light, a majestic light mare. How about that?
Yeah.
Shug, I love these conversations. Everybody does. And good luck finishing up the New York portion of the season. And we'll
more days.
Yeah. Not that you're counting.
Where are you in Florida? Or are you in Saratoga?
Still in Saratoga. I have to dig out. We got a lot. We got about a foot.
Okay, good. We got about not quite an inch here last night, but it's cleared off. And it's pretty nice right now.
Well, I hope they get the rest of those turf races in.
I do too.
We'll leave that to Glenn. We'll leave that to Glenn
and his man Robbie, so we can go from there.
Shug, as always. I love it. Thanks so much. I'll see you down in Florida.
Okay, thanks.
Bye. Shug McGahey, everybody, the one and only. Usually when we bring up, you know, some of the older horses from their career, Shug usually reels off everything. Sounds like Gold Fever kind of slipped through the cracks a little bit over the years. I got to look up this Perpetuate Stakes. I've never heard of this. The Perpetuate. I wonder if it became anything else. Mike Smith aboard. Migliori will know. We'll check with the... Wow, there's an old favorite in here. How about Secreto de Estado? Was last in here. Saw him a bunch of times. Gold Fever over... Pirate Performer, Rage, Medium Turn, Cliveden Hall. Mig rode Cliveden Hall. That was for Billy Badgett. How about that? Shug Joe Aquilino, the late Joe Aquilino. The Chief, Alfredo Calais, Billy Badgett. And Calais actually, that Calais had an entry because he trained Secreto de Estado. Median Turn was his, too, with Luzzy. Luzzy and Smith still riding out of this group. Back after this, Mike Stidham joins us.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Home, at the track, or on the go, ExpressBet is your way to play the races. ExpressBet provides legal and secure online and mobile betting on more than 300 of the world's top tracks and all the big events. And when you sign up for an ExpressBet account today with promo code BYK, that's B-Y-K, you'll receive a $125 bonus. Once you've signed up, you can take your wagering experience to the next level with XB Rewards, ExpressBet's industry-leading loyalty program. Earn points for every bet you make and cash them in on every
everything from wagering credits to exclusive racetrack experiences. So what are you waiting for? Sign up for ExpressBet today using promo code BYK, that's B-Y-K, to get your $125 bonus.
Conditions apply. Must be 18 or older and 21 in certain states to open an account with ExpressBet LLC and reside in a state where such activity is legal. Void where prohibited. National Gambling Support Line 800-522-4700.
145 over 92.
180 over 111.
182 over 100. And I had a heart attack and a cardiac arrest. And then a stroke.
Your blood pressure numbers could change your life.
A lot of people don't understand, including myself, I didn't, now I do, the impact of having a stroke.
My memory is shot.
When I woke up, I couldn't speak.
If I would have followed a treatment plan, I would not be in this situation.
It's a tough journey.
Lowering your high blood pressure could save you from a heart attack or stroke. If you've stopped your treatment plan, restart it, or talk to your doctor about creating one that works better for you. Start taking the right steps at manageyourbp.org.
It's a new life, but I'm going to make it better. I'll come back. Ask your doctor, check your blood pressure.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Breaking down the biggest stories in the world of horse racing, this is At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
We're back at the races. I like this a lot. If you, this is the Beths. Future Me Hates Me. Yeah, if you haven't heard it, it's from this. Listen to this. Yeah. We're going to swap around. They're going to get Andy Serling in now. Otherwise, we're going to get stacked up. And so we'll swing Mike Stidham into the next hour. Yeah, Mike asked me if it was Central or Eastern. And I said Eastern, but now it's going to be Central. it'll be 9:45 Central for him because Michael McCarthy's going to join us, and then Chuck is going to come to the studio, and we're going to start a kind of a Q&A sequence with Chuck, and we're going to hit a lot of the industry issues. You know, what is solvable? You know, what, because it really feels like with all the, you know, with all the noise and you know, sound and fury on any topic, it makes it very difficult to focus in on, you know, on priorities. So we're going to have a sequence of discussions, and today it'll be trainer issues and horse management, trainer, their business management and horse management in the third hour with Chuck Simon. Andy Serling standing by.